time, Albie. I love how I put that on Albie. What's going on? Welcome to the program. A tremendous Wednesday to you. My name is Jim Rome. All right, good show for you. A great Wednesday program. Let's get it. Hump day. It's always good to hump. Well, you know
hump
what I mean.
Day.
It's good to have a hump day. It means you're halfway there. Now it's all downhill in a good way. All right, let's get it. Telephone number is toll free. And that's more important than ever because not only are we in Smack-Off season, but today is the first of our Smack-Off player profiles. It has begun. So you want to get yourself in here, 1-800-636-8686, especially since the first hour is wide open. We have two interviews, one at the top of hour number two, one at the top of hour number three, and nothing in hour number one. So hit me right now. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Maybe you're watching on TV. Maybe you've dropped on CBS Sports Network, and you've seen the show, and you're like, hey, that's a dashing middle-aged guy. I think I want to talk to him. Go ahead and do it. Phone number is toll free. Get you right up there. And the beauty of the TV show is we're also simulcast on hundreds of radio stations nationwide and satellite radio. In other words, there are millions of people who are listening right now and or watching. So take part. Big stage. It's fun. Let's get it. If you want to hit me up on social, that always works. Hit me at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E, and you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. So we're going a couple of different directions. Obviously, I'm going to hit on the Eastern Conference Finals momentarily, but different topics. Top of hour number two, the Vegas Golden Knights are on one. They're a game away from advancing to the Stanley Cup Final. They put it to the stars last night. Their GM, Kelly McCrimmon, joins me via Zoom. Top of hour number two. Top of hour number three, I'm fired up to talk to this guy, the club pro, Michael Block. What a great story. One of my favorite stories ever in golf. Not one of my favorite stories recently in golf. One of my favorite stories ever in golf. A club pro about 25 minutes down the road from right here with a top 15 finish this weekend, guarantees himself an invite next year to the PGA Championship, gets a sponsor exemption this week. Offered 50 gur for his driver or for the iron that he hit an ace with. I mean, the whole thing is just so amazing. Great guy. Michael Block, top of hour number three. Wednesday is an ATP day. All right, so I've laid it out for you. Let's get it. Let me start with my half fam. You know, I'm half chowed. Half chowed. Half fam. It turns out, half fam, that your Celtics do remember how to play basketball. Turns out your Celtics have not completely quit on this series or their head coach or each other. They just quit on game three and they let go of the rope in game one and they got humiliated in the fourth quarter in game two. However, game four last night was a different story, totally different story. Can't take that away from Boston. They came out with a different tone, a different effort level, a totally different execution level. Hell, I'd even say they look like a totally different team.
Totally trashed.
Totally different. Jungle Tourette's, what can you do? You know what I would actually say about them? You know what they look like? Not so much a totally different team, but the team they're supposed to look like. They look like the actual Boston Celtics. Not the sleepwalking chumps who spent the first three games of the series getting their asses punked and their heads handed to them. But yes, totally different story last night. Having said all that, I made it very clear. Different. Very different. However, zero credit to the Celtics. Zero credit for finally showing up for this series in the fourth game of this series. Zero credit for finally getting around to playing to your potential. Zero credit for actually hustling through the finish line and actually finishing and closing a game. Zero credit for just looking the way you're supposed to look and are capable of looking every single night, especially this time of year. Zero credit for waiting until you were down 3-0 with your backs to the wall.
For real.
I mean, I knew they'd show up last night. I said it on the program. I said that I bet them last night plus two. Zero credit for finally showing up. If they played like that every single night, and they should, and they could, they would never be in the position that they're in right now. If the Celtics just showed up like that for every single game instead of only when they had their backs to the wall, this would be a totally different series right now. And even with their backs against the wall, they still trailed by six at halftime last night and then by nine not long thereafter. So if you really want to get into it, they didn't really get around to playing to their potential until the second half of the fourth game of the series, which makes it really, really hard for me to give them much credit at all. And even harder to believe that they're about to make history and run off the first 3-0 comeback ever in the association. And yes, I'm well aware that their social media, look at me, lava slingers, trying to act like the entire tide has turned in the series, touting this alleged Celtic team meeting on Monday as the thing that galvanized this team and saved and salvaged and turned around their entire year, woke them up from their deep, pathetic slumber. You know, the one that Jaylen Brown was talking about after the game.
A lot of times when you get to this point, you know, down 3-0, you see, you know, locker rooms and teams start to go in the other direction. We wanted to make sure that we stayed together. We wanted to make sure that we, you know, looked each other in the eye and came out today and put our best foot forward. And I'm proud of our group for doing that because, you know, you see teams with their back against the wall and you see they just collapse. You didn't see that tonight.
No, we did not see that tonight. But we saw it Sunday night. We saw it in game four. We saw it for a quarter and a half in game three when the Celtics did exactly what Jaylen just described. They collapsed. They quit. They humiliated themselves and their fans and their coach and their city and me. Well, half of me. And they did surrender the series, which is why these dudes should get no points for finally getting around to putting their best foot forward. After spending three games being horrible and a full half of one of those games waving a white flag in surrender. It's too late now, fellas. And you know who's more aware of that than anybody? You know who is less worried about this than anybody? Himmy. You know Himmy. Himmy. Himmy Buckets. HB. H Buckets. Himmy. Himmy Buckets is not sweating any of this. If anything, it's the opposite. Himmy has never been so chill. This maniac actually walked up on the postgame podium last night singing Alicia Keys. He did.
Everything's gonna be all right.
Himmy. Only Himmy. There's this column written about his musical choice and how this guy basically will bump anything and everything in the locker room loudly and nobody says Jack. Nobody says Jack to Himmy. Himmy's the DJ. Himmy does what Himmy wants, when Himmy wants. Of course. Because there's nobody like this dude. Himmy is like a weirdo, but in the best possible case. If ever there was a case where weird was good, in the case of Himmy Buckets, weird is awesome. Himmy is cool. And if Himmy is cool, then everything's cool. If Himmy says, we got this, they got this. You tell me. You listen to this dude after the game last night. You tell me if it sounds like a guy with any doubt or a single concern at all. You tell me if this guy is concerned that the Celtics just flipped the switch and now they're on the verge of shocking the world. Does Himmy sound concerned about any of that?
Do the same thing that I do, that we do after every game. We're going to listen to some music. You know, we're going to drink some beers back there. I'm going to go have some wine. I don't think that you could just focus on basketball all the time. You have to be able to, you know, get away from the game a little bit. Think about it. But at the end of the day, you fall back on, you know, your habits, how consistent you're going to be. And myself and my teammates, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to smile. We're going to be in this thing together like we always are. We're going to go get one on the road.
I mean, I can't even tell you, like, one of the all-time great, great leaders. One of the all-time great leaders in any sport. You cannot overpay that guy. You can't pay that guy enough for what he does, for what he says, what he does, how he works, how he prepares, how he leads. I love that. You know, I made the point a few days back that this is a guy who's always locked in. But, you know, it's interesting what he just said. We'll have a few beers, we'll have some wine, and we will fall back on our habits. We'll be fine. Anybody doubting this dude, but trusting the Celtics to shock the world, has got it all backwards. You know why? Because it is backwards. And I say that about my half fam. I've got blood in this, yo. As long as the Heat stay healthy, they fall back on their habits, they're going to be fine. Now, I did get a little worried last night. I have a different kind of blood in me. I have Chowd blood, and I have Gaucho blood. Little worried when my guy Gaucho Gabe Vincent turned that ankle out. But it seems like he dodged that bullet. Gaucho Gabe also should get a shout out for being exactly right after game three. Remember when he went on the TNT set and he tried to give Boston credit and said they were a very good team and they would not lay down, and Chuck turned him inside out? And don't make me choose between a Gaucho and a Chuck. My two favorite things in the world, Charles Barkley and Gauchos. Turns out I think they were both right, but maybe Gabe might have been a little more right.
You know, they're a really good team. They're a well-coached team. They got stars. They're not going to lay down. So, you know, we got to come in and handle business on Tuesday.
Yeah, clearly you didn't watch the game tonight. Yep. yo, what's that? Hey. Well-coached and don't lay down? Look at the tape again.
Easy. He can't answer that.
They're both right. Chuck was right. They were not well-coached, and they did lay down. But Gabe was right in saying they won't lay down. They didn't last night. So Gabe was right about game four. For one night, they were a pretty good team and did not lay down and were fairly well coached for one night. But that one night came way too late for Boston. They may have saved face last night. They may have extended their season one more game at least. They can keep telling themselves one game at a time, one game at a time. We're still in this thing. But really all they did was avoid further humiliating themselves and their fans and their head coach and their city and most of all me. Well, half of me. By getting swept by an 8. And I don't want to hear about how they're not really an 8. They are. They are. Hey, can I sidebar for a minute about them being an 8? Is there anything in the history of the world more meaningless than the NBA regular season? That's not a hot take either. That's not me going, hot take factory. You know how I know that the NBA regular season is the most meaningless thing in the history of the world? The Heat are an 8. That's how I know. However, Miami fan, and more importantly, Miami player, they know everything's going to, quote, be all right. Right, Himmy?
Everything's going to be all right.
Hey, remember when the Celtics were making ridiculous statements before that game? Remember when Marcus Smart said, don't let us get one. Don't let us get one. And remember when Jaylen Brown confirmed it? Don't let us win tonight. Don't let us win. I mean, it sounded pretty desperate. It sounded pretty pathetic. It sounded pretty hollow before the game. But you know what? In a way, I'm glad they said it. Because then again, what were they going to say? Going to take it one game at a time? Going to focus on what's in front of us? It's a race to 4, not to 3. Listen, as the CEO of Team Content and majority stockholder, I do want this to go 7. You know why? I know the finals aren't going to start for like 7 years. 7 years up. See? Jungle Tourette's, man.
7 years up in the pros.
That's what I'm saying. Even I'm doing it.
No, at the dome, mobbing slow, play to win for real, though.
I don't care who wins. I just hope they keep this thing going. It's not because I'm half fam. I just don't know how I'm going to feel 7 more years until the final start. So go ahead. Keep me entertained. Double down, Celtics. Warn them. Threaten them. Psycho Himmy again. Like my guy Al Horford. I love Al Horford. When he started knocking those threes last night, I knew they were in a pretty good place. But Al, my guy, say something. Go ahead, start talking. Al Horford, classy Al Horford, needs to put the Heat on notice. Al needs to tell Miami that he was there as a college kid for the Miracle on Ice. And if you think that was an upset, get ready for the Miracle en masse. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. The Nuggets have been around for 46 years and have never been in the finals, and they are now. Unfortunately, it's going to be another 46 years until Game 1 tips of the NBA Finals. So go ahead, half-fam. Extend this thing. Let's keep this going. Team content. Team content. 1-800-636-8686. I have a player profile that I'm going to get to. A Smack-Off player profile. The first one of the Smack-Off season. I want to talk about another one of my favorite teams. I don't play favorites. The Bengals are one of my favorite teams. I never play favorites. I don't have favorite players. I don't have favorite teams. I don't have favorite people. The Bengals are one of my favorite teams. I love them. Jeremy Fowler, very good reporter for ESPN, reported that all signs are pointing to the Bengals making Joe Burrow the highest paid player in NFL history. Of course, it's his turn until the next quarterback gets signed. I've got no problem with that. I don't play favorites. Joe Burrow is one of my favorite NFLers ever already. But all the amateur capologists jumped in and said, all right, well, if you pay him that much, then how are you going to take care of T. Higgins? How are you going to take care of Ja'Marr Chase? Yeah, I don't know, amateur capologists. Exactly what software are you running? How do you know? I want to get into that whole thing and whether or not they can take care of their big three and still field enough of a team to make a run at a championship or championships. Because after all, it is Joe Burrow who himself said, our championship window is my entire career. Also one of my favorite quotes. All right, now here's a guy that I want to talk about. I love this guy. Again, I don't play favorites. This is a guy that I liked, and this is a guy that I had no use for, and this is a guy that I love again. It's really weird like that. If you stay in the game long enough, we all change, we all morph, we all evolve. I'm talking about Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard is back in the game. Dwight Howard is once again relevant. Dwight Howard is funny as hell. I am loving Dwight Howard right now, and I'll tell you why that is a little bit later on. And the other big topic of the day, Aaron. Got into it, me and Packer fan yesterday. You know what it's like? It's like fighting with a family member you love. I don't want to fight Packer fan. I don't want to fight Wisco neighbor. I don't. But Packer fan is still really upset about Aaron and wanted to pile on when Aaron tweaked an ankle yesterday. And then we got into it. And I'm not picking a side here, right? I love both sides. I'm a big Aaron Rodgers guy, and I'm a big Wisconsin / Packer guy. I'm both. You can be both. I know you can't be both, but I am both. And it's not that I won't pick a side. I did pick a side. I picked both sides. So I hate to get caught in between, or I hate to fight one side, not the other. But that's what happened yesterday. I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers showing up for voluntary OTAs. I know, Packer fan, you're all bent because he wasn't doing that in the end with Green Bay. But he's not doing it to screw you. He's not doing it to spite you. He's going into a new situation with new teammates, so it would behoove him and the rest of them to show up at the facility, get to know guys, and lead. Yeah, well, why didn't he do that here with us? Because he had been there 20 years. He already knew everybody and everything there. I want to get into it, though. Because even with that tweaked ankle, he's still the happiest Jet I've ever seen. And the Jet teammates that he has now love him. And they're talking about how he's changed the energy in the building already. And I'm talking about guys that matter. 1-800-636-8686. How about some quick reaction? And then we go to break. Dear Gaucho Jim, Jimmy Butler said, look at you. Do your job.
Look at you. Do your job.
And your half-fam responded with a curb stomping in South Beach. However, the entire world will be loving the Celtics in Game 5. Give me, himmy, money line, Game 5, to go into your old stomping grounds and rip their hearts out and punch that ticket to the finals by busting Boston in the mouth and kicking them to the ground. TJ in Iowa. War Miami in 5. War, look at you. Do your job.
Look at you. Do your job.
Good job, TJ. I like that. I like that a lot. I like that for two reasons. One, had a good take. Two, he mixed gambling into the take. Three, he reset one of my favorite quotes ever. I said this before. The last thing I ever want to see are athletes bullying the media when the media is just trying to do its job. Except to Jimmy's point, that media member was not doing his job. What a great line that was when he corrected that media member and said, quote, look at you, do your job.
Look at you, do your job.
I mean, I'm going to side with the media because I am media. Except that was great. If I said to Jimmy Butler, hey, Jimmy, so when you play your next game on Sunday, actually, the next game is Saturday. Oh, my bad, Saturday. Quote, and he, look at you, do your job to me, I'd laugh.
Look at you, do your job.
Great line. All right, I don't want to have one of those segments where the next segment is super short and super awkward, and then I go into the sports updates. So let me get out right now. Got a player profile coming up. I'm not saying who it is. I'm saying it's a guy who can win it all. Why don't I start today off by asking you, are you hungry? Are you looking for some protein? Are you looking for some quick energy? Or are you looking for something new? Hit it. Old Trapper Beef Jerky. It is awesome for so many different reasons. One, for the reasons I just mentioned, it's good. Get some quick protein. It's also great because it's a family-run business. They manufacture it, they stand by quality, and they do, in fact, produce the world's greatest beef jerky. I've had lots of beef jerky. Well, not anymore, I don't. Now I have only one. But prior to this, I did. They're not one and the same. Old Trapper is just the best. It's Old Trapper, and it's everybody else. Make sure you look for it. Look right through their iconic Clearview packages, and then you'll know exactly what you're getting. Comes in four amazing flavors. Grab and go with a 4-ounce bag. Load up with an 18-ounce bag. That way you've got enough for the entire team. I eat it on the daily. I love it. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This just in, and I'm really surprised by this. You've got it backwards. This just in, you jacked something else up. No way. DB the Rocket guy, quote, Himmy Buckets has about as much singing talent as at Parody Larry. Hashtag bleeding ears. Wrong. Wrong. He sings better than Parody Larry.
Everything's gonna be all right.
That's way better than Parody Larry on his best day. This dude's practically Pavarotti compared to Parody Larry. Who cares how Himmy Buckets sings? The worse, the better. Yeah, do it. Go ahead, Alvin. You put them side by side and you tell me who sings better. And this is not in any way subjective. This is obvious. Give me Himmy.
Everything's going to be all right.
That's nice. That's soothing. Give me Parody Larry.
Larry in San Francisco.
And sometimes when we touch,
makes me want to put steak knives in my ears. My ears are bleeding. Get the hell out of here, Larry. Himmy sounds much better. Bad take. Alan in Raleigh tweets, like Jimmy, I have some beers and some wine after games and before publicly speaking. Signed, Mary Sue Coleman.
Explain to me what this would be all
another
about
major difference between Big
so
Ten rivals,
much.
Wisconsin and Michigan.
And
that's what a Michigan graduation ceremony sounds like. I went to Wisconsin's a couple weeks back. It sounded great. And did not sound anything like that. When the chancellor for Wisconsin got up, she did not say, I'm so proud of these undergraduates. And they're going out into the world. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, Mary Sue, but that was just the feedback that you were dealing with. Oh, okay. microphone feedback. It was confusing. Really? Nobody else was confused. This guy writes it, hell yes, at Jim Rome. Love that you're having Michael Block on. I saw him play at Valhalla in 2014. Saw him this past weekend in Rochester. He seems so humble and is enjoying the ride. Hope he plays well this weekend. War jungle karma for Michael Block. He nailed it. Exactly right. Guy's so humble. He is so awesome. Hey, and by the way, a damn good player. One of the best pros, club pros in the country. But best of all, fully understands the opportunity, fully understands that he's on this kind of crazy magic carpet ride, fully understands the opportunities before him. He said it. It'll never get better than this. And every time something good happens, he cries. Like, I love this guy. I can't wait to meet this guy. I can't wait to talk to this guy. It's one of my favorite golf stories ever. It's so good. And especially right now when golf is full of, frankly, not great stories. Golf's kind of in a weird spot right now. I don't play. I just join clubs. Luckily, I stopped doing that. I don't play, but I love the game. I love the sport. I love the game. I love talking about it. I love following it. I just never got in the habit of playing. But I do love it. But lately, between the rival tours and some of the weirdness going on, it hasn't been as fun. This guy made it so much fun and got us all to kind of lock in on that one thing. Also, a lot of talk about Brooks Koepka and how he got cheated out of his shine by the club pro from Mission Viejo. Yeah, I don't know. Brooks looks like he's having a pretty good time. Brooks is showing up everywhere. And it looks like he's not catching a lot of Z's, and I don't blame him. If I won the event he just won, got paid the way he just got paid, and Florida sports being what it is right now, why not, man? Why not? And finally, Rome. We heard that you were having the first player profile for the SmackDown. Thanks for the warning, as we will be tuning out for that segment. Regards, the clones who despise Paul's dog, Eric in Castle Rock.
Previous SmackDown winners can call on...
Hey, Eric. I don't want to be in the habit of doing this, and probably a suit will shoot me a quick email and tell me, you know, Rome, maybe you don't want to do that. But considering that you were already saying that you're going to tune out for the first player profile from the SmackDown, and you signed it, everybody who hates Paul's dog, Eric, you can go ahead and sit out every segment going forward for all I care. Yeah, probably not the best idea for a talk show host to tell fans not to listen, but I'll make an exception with you, Eric, for two reasons. It's not the SmackDown, Eric. Have you ever heard the show before, Eric? I know you have because you send me your drivel every single day. SmackDown?
Previous SmackDown winners can call.
It was ironic. You were being funny. See, that's the thing, Eric. It's not funny. And how do you know it's the dog, Eric? Hey, do me a favor, Eric. Just find another station. Turn your station off, Eric. Do as Mike Tyson says. Turn off your station.
You have a problem, turn off your station.
You got a problem, Eric in Castle Rock? Turn off your station. Now, if I get to the profile and it is the dog, I'll apologize. Just know, I don't need to apologize for Jack. Because I already know who the profile is. Eric. And finally, Ryan in Sacktown, because he makes it so much better. JR. The Stucknut Smackoff odds leaked online this morning. They are as follows. Caleb in Green Bay, plus 350 pounds. Jeff in Richmond, plus 170 pounds. Rick in Buffalo, plus 100 pounds. Mark in Hollywood, minus 100 pounds. Unable to buy food. All right, Ryan, let me see if I can determine what you did there. You called Caleb obese. You called Jeff in Richmond fat. You called Rick in Buffalo short. And you called Mark in Hollywood poor and unemployed. Honestly, Ryan, if I'm grading on a scale, I'm going to give you a 4. Or a curve, I should say. And if I'm grading not on a curve, it's a 0. Stop jacking up my talk show. It's a damn good show, except when I let you in. All right, when we return, we're still opening this hour. Hey, you can't get in the Smack Off unless you call. You can't get in unless you tweet. You can't get in unless you email. You can't get in unless you participate, is what I'm trying to say. Shoot your shot. You never know what might happen. I've got Kelly McCrimmon, top of hour number two, which means we are talking hockey. Hey, Bella, are you back in the country yet? Because I know you love when I talk hockey. Not just hockey, but Vegas Golden Knights hockey.
I love when you talk
One
hockey.
One of the more fascinating franchises in all sports, ask me. Michael Block, top of hour three. ATP in the third hour. Hit me up. Let's do it. Time now for a sports update. Busy Wednesday. Here is the latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I want to remind you that Wednesday is NASA Pros Day. ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question there. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need quickly from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Getting a lot of this, too, regarding Michael Block. Hey, Rome Slice. Wrong, Rome. Michael Block is breaking the cardinal rule. Never cry at work. Regards, your You Can't Cry at Work take. Geoff and Lincoln. Okay. Okay. I did make that rule. No crying at work. You cannot cry at work. Overwork. Okay. All right. I get it. That's still counterintuitive. My rule about crying at work is don't bring whatever issue you have to work. No, that's not it. I take that back. My issue with crying at work is that something didn't go your way at work and you cried. If you get exceptionally bad news while at work, you can cry. I've cried at work. I've told you that story once. You know what? Honestly, a couple times I got dusty during really moving and emotional interviews. You know why? Unlike you clones, I don't have a dark heart. I'm empathetic. I'm sympathetic. I'm a good, good dude. So a couple of times over the years, I've interviewed an interview subject that really moved me almost to tears, at least dusty. The one time I did actually have the waterworks go is when I got a call in the middle of a program that Shared Belief died. I admit it, I cried. I went back to my office during a long break. Here's the inside. Alex Solis calls me, 10 a.m., never a good sign. When you're race manager, he knows my schedule. He's not calling me during the show for good news. He says, I don't know how to tell you this, the big horse died. I wait for the break, or actually it was during the break, have a little cry, go back in the studio, and I don't say anything. I don't tell the XR4TI, I don't call anybody, I don't do anything, the show must go on. Crack open the mic, suck it up, I do it. Of course, it hit Twitter, and then everybody, you know, the XR4TI is like, Dude, you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. So, yes, I did cry at work. Geoff and Lincoln sent that in. Hey, dude, Geoff, here's the other time that I cried at work. There's one other time. Every time you send me anything, I cry at work. Did you get off Michael Block? How many of you idiots are sending that? Hey, man, what about your rule, Rome? This guy cries every time something good happens, and it's awesome. He gets a call that he's getting a sponsor's exemption this week. He cries. He finds out that he's playing with Rory McIlroy. He almost cries. It's real, man. It's raw. It's awesome. Well, why are you trying to turn that into a joke, Geoff? Geoff, none of your stuff's ever funny or smart or clever. Man, just leave it alone. You're bringing us down, dude. You just are. I'm trying to lift you up with a great story. Why are you trying to knock it down? You know why, dude? Look in the mirror. If you felt better about you, you wouldn't be coming with cheap shots like that. Sorry to get heavy on you, Geoff, but you need to hear that. I know it's going in one ear and out the other. And you know what pisses me off, Geoff? I have this whole Aaron Rodgers thing I want to get into, but you sidetracked me. You won, Geoff. You sidetracked me when I was going to talk Aaron. I'm going to start talking about Aaron anyway, Geoff. Hey, learn how to spell your own name, dude. Did anybody find it strange that Aaron Rodgers stopped the entire news cycle in its tracks yesterday because he tweaked his calf at OTAs? Judging by the hysterical break-in reactions of certain TV networks and on social media, you would think that this non-story was some kind of major story. Like, batten down the hatches, everybody in, we're going wall-to-wall 24-7. Get everybody in the field. Get them to the facility. Aaron tweaked his calf. Like, not a damn thing happened. Who cares? He tweaked his calf. It's a voluntary May practice. He took a vet day. End of story. Nothing to see here. Keep moving. You don't believe me? Take it from the source himself.
Good photos, eh? Just tweaked my calf in the little pre-practice conditioning. So I decided to take a vet day. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's too serious.
He handled that perfectly. Like, he did not get sucked in to the New York media, to the national hysteria. Like, he understood. He's like, he was laughing. Like, I tweaked my calf. Like, if he were the guy that everybody said that he was going to freak out in New York City, then that would have been the time to do so. Like, hey, man, give me some room to breathe. Get off me. Roll off me. I tweaked my calf, man. He could have gone Randy Johnson if you thought he was that guy. Don't talk back to me, all right? Give me some room. He's not. He laughed. He knew.
Don't be a high face and don't talk back to me, all right?
Most of you acted like that's what he was going to do, or that's what he did do, or that this is some incredible I told you so moment that they got. This is what they signed up for. Dude, he didn't blow out an Achilles. He didn't shred his knee. He didn't suffer a concussion and go into the protocol. Does this sound like some significant injury? Today is May 24th. The Jets do not open up until the second week of September. I'm pretty sure, without even having to be a doctor on TV, that the calf is going to be fine by then. I'm pretty sure the calf will be fine. I'm just not really sure who needs to hear that or why. Like, it's almost as if everybody is just assuming the worst. Like, hey, Rome, did you see the report? Amputation is necessary. He's getting his leg cut off because of the calf that he tweaked. Everybody's just assuming that this was inevitable, that the situation is going to just jump right off the rails and right off the nearest cliff at any moment. And that at any moment, Aaron is going to have buyer's remorse, and Aaron's going to stop being so happy and stop being so motivated and stop being so energetic and stop looking so good and stop being so rejuvenated. And that he should have never done this in the first place. And he's already looking back at Green Bay, wishing that he was still there. The hell he is. Hate to break it to you, that's not how it is. He's still really happy. Nothing's changed. Now, I know Packer fan is feeling like a scorned lover that got left in the dust these days. And I know that in Wisco, all of this is hard to process and hard to accept. Believe me, I get it. I heard enough of it directly from Packer fan and Wisco fan already. I know. But I'll tell you what doesn't make sense. It doesn't mean it makes actual sense to go in on a guy for tweaking his calf at a voluntary practice and then sitting himself down and taking, quote, a vet day. I mean, what do you want this guy to do? Play hurt and maybe make it worse in May? Make that make sense. But then again, I understand that it's tough for Wisco fan to respond rationally when they hear Aaron up at the podium bragging about how much fun it is to be at OTAs. I get that this response was probably going to trigger every last one of you Packer fans yesterday.
I haven't been to OTAs in the last couple of years, so it's been nice to kind of be out here, be in the meetings, speak up about certain things, little adjustments in the offense and additional coaching points. Obviously, got a long history with Nathaniel, so he gives me a lot of latitude to speak up in the meetings, and just the opportunity to help out Zach and Tim and Chris in the room was a lot of fun.
I know, Wisco fan. I know that's what your problem is. This is what you've been trying to tell me. This is what I don't get, Wisco fan. That's what Aaron should have been saying all along. That Aaron should use OTAs to be present, to help the QB room, to mesh with his wideouts, to speak up in meetings, and most importantly, to lead from the front. Yeah, I get it. But it makes no sense to try to take a run at him now that he's doing it in New York. That's just petty. That's just petty. And as I mentioned earlier, the situation in New York is so much different than the situation in Wisco. He doesn't know most of these guys. He has to get acclimated with them. He has to get on the same page with them. He has to help teach them the new offensive system. This is why Wisco fan is conflicted, and why some Wisco fans are being petty and irrational and trying to use any excuse they can to take a run at Aaron. I get it, kinda. What I don't understand, though, is Jet fan freaking out yesterday. I know why Wisco fans freaking out. It's personal. They've got long, deep history with Aaron. Jet fan, why are you freaking out already? I want to get to that. I've got an interview coming up next, but then I'll pick up that conversation about Aaron and Jet fan in hour number two.